Bruchim Haboy, and welcome to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha Shemois. We should be Zoicha as we start the next Sefer, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah Sefer Shemois, to be able to learn through the entire Sefer of Shemois, beginning, middle, and end, and to be Zoicha to learn it Gesuntahei. A very, very big privilege to be able to start Sefer Shemois. Parsha Insights this week is sponsored L'Zeicha Nishmas Ule Ile Nishmas. Rebecca Bas Serena and Leon Ben Rachel, their neshama tahiras, zolhabin alichtige lichtige ganeidem. Let's hope, Ezras Hashem, we could share the Divrei Torah with others, especially on Shabbos Kodesh, as always, not only to give us chizuk, but to be able to enhance the kedusha of our Shabbos. Take a look, the opening pasuk of Shlishi, Perek Beis pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayehi vayomim mahem vayigdal Moshe vayetze el echo vayar b'sivloisom. Opening pasuk of Shlishi, Perek Beis, pasuk Yud Aleph. In those days, vayigdal Moshe, as he grew up, vayetze el echo vayar b'sivloisom, and he saw their burdens. How do we understand this concept? Vayetze el echo means that he went out. Does Vayar B'Sivloisom simply mean that he saw their burdens? What deeper definition could we come up with the word Vayar to help us give a greater appreciation to this entire pasuk in the life of Moshe Rabbeinu? If you take a look, Rabbeisai, Rav Meir Bergman, Shlita, Zoler Gesund und Stark, and he brings our attention that if you take a look in Sefer Bereshis, Parshas Vayera. Take a look at the very opening of Parshas Vayera, the second pasuk. The first pasuk tells us that after the Bris Mila, Avram Avinu was sitting by the entrance of the tent. And what does pasuk Beis tell us? Vayisa Eina Vayar Vehine Shloisha Noshim Yitzavim Olav Vayar Vayar Tzlekrosam. I don't understand. Why does it repeat the word Vayar? Did you look at that? Look at the pasuk inside. Perek Yuches. Pasuk Beis, Parshas Vayera. The pasuk tells us he lifted up his eyes, Vayar, and he saw. There were three men that were standing there, Vayar, and he saw. And he ran towards them. Why in the world would the pasuk read and repeat in the same pasuk the word Vayar twice? He saw. At least if it was in another pasuk, we could come up with a possible explanation. But in the very same pasuk to come up with the word vayar twice, why? So he explains so beautifully the deeper definition of the word vayar, which perhaps you already understand on your own, but it's a very profound pshat. That pasuk that speaks about Avraham Avinu seeing those three, he didn't know at the time they were angels. The pasuk in the same pasuk deliberately uses the word vayar twice, for they mean two totally different things. The first word, vayar, means he saw them. You look up and you see somebody, approaching 20 feet away, 40 feet away, somebody standing next to you. That's the word vayar, literally to see. The second time the pasuk uses the word and says vayar, that doesn't mean to see. It's a much deeper level. It's to perceive. Vayar means after you see something, you have to perceive what is it that that person needs? What is it that I can best do before the person asks? I want that to be heard clearly. Sometimes the person asks first, but sometimes it's so demoralizing when the person has to turn to you. It really is demoralizing to that person that they have to first turn, ask, express themselves. They feel so much better about themselves when they might be the recipient of your chesed, but you not only saw them, you understood and perceived clearly what it was that was needed, what the situation called for. And that's why in that opening pasuk in Parshas Vayera, the second pasuk, it says the word vayar twice. Avram Avinu vayar, he saw them, and the second vayar is telling us he understood and he perceived exactly what was needed at that moment, which goes very well with the pshat we said a number of weeks ago. A few psukim later, it says, "V'hu oimed aleihem," and we asked the question, "V'hu oimed aleihem," literally means that he stood over them. Would your archim, would your guests feel comfortable if you literally stood over them? We explained at that time a number of weeks ago, Oymed Aleihem means a person could either be a Hailech or an Oymed. A Hailech means when they go and they grow. An Oymed means when they remain stationary. At that moment, in order to connect with those three, in order to see what it was that they needed at that moment, Vehu Oymed Aleihem, Avram Avinu transformed himself from a Hailech into an Oymed. Vehu Oymed Aleihem doesn't merely mean that he stood over them. Vehu Oymed Aleihem means he transformed himself. He did an entire metamorphosis from being a Hailech. At that moment, it wasn't time to be a Hailech. It was time to be an Oymed, to see and understand, to perceive and to relate to what it is that someone needs. And at that time, in the sheer number of weeks ago, we mentioned when a person knows when to be an Oymed, that's what makes them the greatest Hailech. What makes a person the greatest Hailech, someone who's constantly growing and growing, is knowing when to stop, to understand, to listen, to perceive, and when to be an Oymed. And that's why that Pasuk uses the word Vayar twice, the first to see, and the second to understand and perceive. And now we go back to our Pasuk and our Parsha, Paragraph Pasuk Yud-Alef. Vayigdal Moshe Vayetze El Echav, when he went out to see what it was, when the Pasuk uses the word Vayar B'Sivloisam, this word Vayar B'Sivloisam doesn't merely mean that he saw and he observed their burdens. This Vayar B'Sivloisam has the second definition as well. He understood and he deeply, deeply perceived what it was that a fellow Yid needed. In fact, my father's Atzal would explain, that's why when the Pasuk says Vayigdal Moshe, literally Vayigdal Moshe means that he grew up. In other words, as the age progressed. My father's Atzal explains Vayigdal Moshe differently. Vayigdal Moshe means he became a gadol. He became a great person. Vayigdal Moshe from the word gadol. He became a gadol in stature. He became a great, great person. What makes a person a gadol? Vayetze elecha vayar b'sivloisam. When you go out and you not only see the burden of a fellow yid, but you take time to understand, to listen, and to perceive what it is that they're truly saying. That deeper definition of Vayar explains Vayigdal Moshe. That is true greatness. It's very similar to the concept that we've explained in the past. You find sometimes the usage of the word She'ela and sometimes the usage of the word Bakasha. By example, in the capital that we say during the days of Elul, and then the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and through Sukkot as well, we say in the capital, L'David, Hashem Eiri V'Yishi, Achas Sha'alti Meis Hashem, and then a little bit later it says, Oysa Avakesh. Why does David HaMelech switch from the phraseology of She'ela to Bakasha? She'ela is a question. Bakasha is a petition. How on a deeper level are we to understand the difference between a She'ela and a Bakasha? The Svarim tell us something so powerful. A She'ela is what you hear the person ask. Bakasha is what you perceive and understand they truly mean. And so about David HaMelech, the capital in Tehillim is telling us, David HaMelech says, Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem. I have one request, one thing, one she'ela that I would like from Hashem. And of course, that's when David HaMelech goes on to enumerate, Shifti beves Hashem kol yimei chayai, lachazois b'noyim Hashem, ulevaker be'echoloi, to be able to sit in the house of Hashem, to bask in the pleasantness and to be surrounded by Hashem. But then David HaMelech says, after he uses the word she'ela, Oysa avakesh, my she'ela is my bakasha. My she'ela is my bakasha. Sometimes a person may have one she'ela, but their bakasha, what they mean is really something else. My she'ela is my bakasha. A person has to hear the she'ela and also be able to understand and to perceive, to listen well to the bakasha that the person is truly asking for. There's the well-known story with the Beis Halevi, where before the Yom Tov of Pesach, an elderly woman came and asked, Rebbe, am I allowed to use milk for the Dalet Kaisais? We use Yayin, can I use milk? Obviously she didn't have enough money. The Beis Halevi responded by giving her a substantial amount of money. But clearly the amount that he had given her was far more than the four cups of wine would cost. So some of the Talmidim asked the Beis Halevi if she asked about using milk for the Dalet Kaisais, clearly you gave her more money than that. Why? Listen to the Beis Halevi's answer. He said, if she's asking about using milk for the Dalet Kaisais, that means she also doesn't have any meat or any flesh for Shulchan Aruch. Two of the Kaisais, numbers 3 and 4, are after Shulchan Aruch. The first two are before the Suda, in the middle of the Seder. But the 3rd and 4th cups of Yayin, they're after Shulchan Aruch. If she's asking about using milk, it must mean that she's still milching. If she's still milching, then obviously she didn't have food or flesh or any meat for the Suda. He heard the She'ela, and he understood her Bakasha. Her She'ela was, can I use milk for the Dalet Kaisais? The Beis Halevi understood the Bakasha to mean, I also don't have any meat. So if she had meat, she wouldn't be able to use milk. She would be fleishig. And that's why he gave her a substantial amount of money, not only for the Yayin, for the Dalet Kaisais, but for the fleishig, to be able to have flesh and meat by the Seder during Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi, how many times does somebody approach us with a She'ela? Do we take time to interpret what they mean in their Bakasha? Maybe a child comes to us and wants to know our schedule. Maybe that's the She'ela, but are they literally, is that what they're interested in, the exact schedule or what the plans might be for this evening? Perhaps the deeper Bakasha is, I hope you have some time that we're able to learn or to do something together. Did you hear that Bakasha or went over your head? Perhaps there's someone who, maybe a woman who's raising children, her sons, on her own, and she calls somebody and wants to know on an Erev Shabbos, she asks a neighbor, what time is Lichbench and what time is Shul tonight? Maybe you understood that She'ela, where the answer to that would be, Mincha's 5:40 tonight. But her Bakasha may very well be, I need somebody to take my children to Shul this Shabbos. I'm home alone. Is there somebody to take my children to Shul? Could a neighbor perhaps help out? So many times in our sojourn through this world, we hear the She'ela, but on a much deeper level, we have to perceive the person's Bakasha. Vayigdal Moshe, what makes a person truly great? What makes a person a gadol? Vayar b'siv loisam. The word vayar, as we interpret it, not only to mean to see, but to really perceive and understand. We hear the She'ela, but did we chap the Bakasha? That woman wasn't asking only about milk. She was essentially asking about food for Shulchan Aruch. The child wasn't only asking about literally the schedule. He wanted to know, please, could you carve out some time to spend with me? I'm craving that time. The neighbor wasn't asking merely, is Mincha at 5:40? It was a call for help. Could somebody bring my sons to shul? How fortunate we would be if, as we go through this parsha, to understand the concept of the vayar, to see and perceive, to hear the she'ela, and to be able to understand the bakasha. That's what makes a person a gadol. And if you think about it, Rabbi Yisrael, on any given day, we are provided with countless opportunities to fulfill this concept. In our dozens and countless interactions throughout the day, it's an ability to tap into godless to greatness. Now, I'd like to actually show you, going back a little bit in the parsha, continuing this theme about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, a very well-known pasuk. Take a look, just a few pasukim earlier, Perek Beis, pasuk Vav. Basya, as some people say, Bisya, the daughter of Paro, she opened up the basket. The pasuk tells us again, Beis, Vav, look at the pasuk inside. Vatiftach vatireu es hayeled. She went ahead and she saw the boy. She saw the child. Vehine nar boicha. The youth was crying. The nar was crying. And of course, we're very familiar. One could take a look at Rashi on these words. We're very familiar with the fact that the pasuk starts talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And at first, the pasuk says, Yeled, but then when talking about his crying, it says Vehine Na'ar Boichen. Or the first thing means she saw that there was a boy. But then it says when he was crying, Vehine Na'ar Boichen, many speak about this concept. He wasn't a Nar. He was a Tinoik. He was a little baby. He wasn't a Nar. A Nar represents an older boy, a sense of maturity. But that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Rabbeinu at that time was a Tinoik. It's a well-known question I heard last night, actually, at the Chasson. I mentioned a beautiful, beautiful pshat. And I think it ties in fabulously with what we said until now about the Sheila Bakosh and the deeper delving into the word Vayar. Sometimes there could be a tinaik that is crying, and sometimes there could be a nar that is crying. We explained that nar represents a boy who's already older. What is the difference between the crying of a tinaik and the crying of a nar? Such a beautiful pshat. Let's open our hearts to it. When a tinaik cries, a tinaik is crying because there's something that he wants. A little baby, imagine a six-month-old, a one-year-old. He's crying. He wants the toy. He got hurt. There's something that he wants. But a na'ar, an older, more mature boy, whether na'ar represents the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, when a person's already a na'ar, he's not only crying because there's something that he wants and he's in pain. Sometimes that's why he cries. But equally, he has the ability to cry because someone else is in pain. There's something that someone else needs, but that nar is such a sensitive soul. He's such a mature boy that it pains him that someone else is in pain. He's crying because the other person doesn't have something. That is not true by a tinaik. A tinaik cries, a six-month-old or a one-year-old, because he... the baby wants something or needs something. But a nar sometimes may cry for that reason. But more importantly, when a nar cries, a nar, as we said already twice, is a more mature boy. A nar has the ability to cry when someone else needs something and someone else is missing something. That pains the nar. He may be a sensitive soul, and with his acute sensitivity, he's crying because he may have, but someone else doesn't. Rabbi Isai, if you think about that pshat that I just shared with you, it makes so much sense. Because if you think about it, over here, Moshe's crying, Moshe Rabbeinu, as a baby, but now he's going to be saved. Bisya, the daughter of Paro, by stretching out her hand, is about to save Moshe Rabbeinu. You know why he's crying, Rabbi Isai? Vehine na'ar boicha. Although he's going to be saved, what's going to be with all of the other boys? What's going to be with the rest of that part of Klal Yisrael? His crying wasn't for himself. His crying was for others. And I think that goes so beautifully with the concept we explained earlier, and you can really see this throughout the entire parsha, as hopefully we'll try to bring another proof as well. Vayigdal Moshe, the definition of true greatness is to hear the she'ela and to understand the bakasha. The true sign of greatness is the double meaning of vayar, to see and to perceive. And like we mentioned earlier, try where you can. It's not always possible. Let's be realistic. It's not always possible, but where you can, try to perceive and understand what the person needs before they even need to ask. Because sometimes it's not a gishmaka feeling. It could be actually demoralizing when a person needs to turn to someone for help. Where it's possible, where it is possible, try to fulfill the second definition of vayar before the person needs to express and say that they're in need of whatever it might be. Similarly, we find here by Moshe Rabbeinu that it doesn't say he was a tinoik that he was crying, but a na'ar, because a na'ar has the ability, even if it has, or he or she has, but if someone else is missing, I am in pain because you don't. Moshe Rabbeinu is being saved. That would be reason to rejoice. V'hine na'ar boicha, yes, I'm being saved. But others may not be as fortunate. You may remember the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, we spoke about this very concept. We brought countless proofs to the sign of greatness being that you want someone else to have, only then are you truly happy. We cited the Medrash that says that on the day that Sarah Imenu became expecting a child, when she was expecting, every other woman in the world who until that point was childless became expecting on the same day. Why? In order for the simcha of Sarah Imenu to be complete, in order for her simcha to be complete, everyone else needed to experience the same joy that she was experiencing. We also explained that by Avram Avinu. The pasuk says by Avram Avinu, Vashem Berechas Avram Bakol, Hashem gave the blessing to Avram Bakol. Bakol could have either have been the name of his daughter, or Bakol is 52, which is a gematria of Ben. Another pshat we said at that time a couple of months ago was, what was the bracha that Avram Avinu got? Bakol, that everyone else was blessed at the same time. True greatness is, if you're in pain, I feel the pain. And if you are happy and have a simcha, I will make it my simcha as well. We explain that as well on the pasuk Shalom Achech and Shalom Hatzayin. Why did Yaakov, when he spoke to Yosef and told him to go look at the welfare of the brother and the sheep, why did the pasuk say the word Shalom twice? Just say Shalom Achech Vitzayin. Why did it say Shalom Achech and again Shalom Hatzayin? Because what it means for sheep to be at peace, if your sheep don't have what to eat or drink, but mine do, I'm not affected by that at all. What does it bother me that your sheep don't have? Mine have. That attitude is good for sheep and animals. But that's unacceptable for a fellow Yid. By a fellow Yid, if you don't have, then I'm truly lacking as well. And this is a darga to reach. Someone else's tzar becomes our tzar. Someone else's simcha becomes our simcha. And that's what the pasuk here means. V'hine nar boicha. It was a more mature cry. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu is being saved. But if somebody else is lacking, then Moshe Rabbeinu feels that tzar. If a person takes a look, the pasuk tells us, it's actually relevant to Parshas Yisrei as well. I'll mention it here. If you take a look, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Let's look inside and read the Pasuk together. Vayom Moshe Lasheves Es Ha'ish. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted and desired to dwell with the Ish, the man. Who is this Ish referring to? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to dwell with the Ish. The Ish is obviously referring to Yisrael. So that means the Pasuk is referring to Yisrael by the title Ish. If you take a look at Parshas Yisrael, let's skip a few weeks to Parshas Yisrael. There we find in the beginning the Pasuk tells us, Perek Yuches, Pasuk Ches, Vayishalu Ish l'Re'eyu l'Shalayim, one Ish greeted the other. And take a look at Rashi on these words. When Rashi is speaking about one greeting the other, Rashi tells us, Who was it that was Makdim Shalom? Who was the Ish? Rashi tells us it was a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi says, Eini Yedei, I don't know who is the one that initiated the greetings. When the Pasuk says, Ish L'Re'ehu, Rashi, who's the one that has the title Ish? Zokt Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu has the title Ish. As we know, the famous Pasuk in Sefer Bar Midbar, Va'ish Moshe Anam Ma'od, Moshe was the humblest of all men. But could you explain to me that Rashi? Rashi seems to be telling us that the way that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one in this Parsha, Parshas Yisro, when it says, Va'yishu Ish L'Re'ehu, a man greeted his friend, but I don't know who is the Ish. So Rashi says the Ish must be Moshe Rabbeinu. How do you know the Ish? The word Ish, who is Ish? It must be Moshe Rabbeinu. How do I know that? Because in Sefer Bamidbar, it calls Moshe Rabbeinu Ish, Va'ish Moshe Anam Ma'id. Moshe the Ish, it doesn't say Ish, it just says Va'ish Moshe. Ish with Moshe was the humblest of all men. But what does Rashi mean? I just read you a pasuk from this week's Parsha. I just read you a pasuk from this week's Parsha in Parsha Shemois, where it says that Moshe desired to dwell with the Ish. And who is that Ish referring to? Yisro. So how does Rashi know to stay over here in Parshas Yisro when the pasuk says, Vayishalu Ish L'Re'ehu, and Ish greeted his friend, Rashi says, that Ish is Moshe. You know how I know? Because Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Bamidbar is called Ish. Yeah, but in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shemais, Yisro is called Ish. So you see that that word Ish in one place is referring to Moshe, and in our Parsha, it's referring to Yisroi. So how did Rashi know in Parsha Yisroi when it says, Vayishlu Ish L'Re'ehu, a man greeted his friend, that that definition of the word Ish was Moshe, but in our Parsha, the word Ish was a reference to Yisroi? Nechsam Sofer, as the Chusa Yagan Aleinu tells us, something so powerful. Please, Rabbeisa, open up your hearts and never forget this pshat. Nechsam Sofer tells us, you're right. The word Ish by itself could have many definitions. The word Ish, as we see in Parsha Shemois, this week's Parsha, is a reference to Yisroi. The word Ish in Bamidbar is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. When Rashi says that I don't know who bowed down to who and who initiated the greeting, Moshe to Yisroi, Yisroi to Moshe, and Rashi says, I know that when it says Ish L'Re'ehu, it's a reference to Moshe, because Moshe is called Ish, and that prompted our question, says the Chacham Sofer, that's not what Rashi means. Rashi doesn't mean that I know that the word Ish is a reference to Moshe, because Moshe is called Ish, because if that were the case, we just proved that Yisroi is also called Ish. What Rashi is answering is, how do I know that the one who initiated the greeting, how do I know the one who started the Shalom process was Moshe Rabbeinu? Because there's a pasuk that says, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. He was the humblest and most greatest Anav in the entire world. And when a person is an Anav, when a person has and is the very persona of humility, they'll always be Makdim Shalom. They'll always initiate the greeting. They'll be the first to make sure that there's peace. And so says the Chacham Sofer, when Rashi says, I know Ish L'Re'ehu, the Ish means Moshe to Yisroi, he doesn't mean because the Pasuk says Va'ish Moshe. He means because of the words that follow Va'ish Moshe. What are the words that follow Va'ish Moshe? Anav Ma'oi, the humblest of all men. And somebody who's an Anav, somebody who's the very paradigm of humility, will always fulfill Ish L'Re'ehu. You are Makdim Shalom. A person doesn't stand on ceremony, but will always be the first to initiate that greeting. It's interesting, with Purim not that far away, but less than a couple months away, if one takes a look by the Mishloach Manos, there you find the same phraseology. U'mishloach Manos, Ish L'Re'ehu. The same that it says in Parshas Yisroi, Ish L'Re'ehu. Maybe it's the same idea. When it comes to Mishloach Manosh, which is all about being Marbe Reus, bringing about friendship, one has to remember Mishloach Manosh, Ish L'Rei Ehu. If you're truly a humble person, and you're truly an Anav, somebody, as we said, who's the very persona and whose essence is one of humility, you'll always be Makdim Shalom. You'll always be the first to make amends or to say, I'm sorry, or to let bygones be bygones, or to try to bring about peace or to make a better situation. And very often, Mishloach Manos could accomplish just that. A Mishloach Manos that's sent from one person to another where the other might not have been expecting it, or the other might have felt that there was a little bit of a chill in the friendship or the relationship. And now the Mishloach Manos is being sent. You know which people do that? You know which type of person does that? A Gadol. Vayigdal Moshe. It's all the same, Rabbi. So if you think about every Dvar Torah we've said in the Shir tonight, it all comes back to the same idea. Vayigdal Moshe. That is greatness. Greatness is having the ability, Nar Boicha, to cry and be sensitive to the needs of others. Vayigdal Moshe. Greatness is not only seeing and hearing, but perceiving and understanding. And Vayigdal Moshe, greatness is Ishtari Ehu, a humble person, one who's the very paradigm of Anivus, will be the person who is Makdim Shalom, who initiates the peace greetings, who tries to bring people close together, as we said a moment ago, a very great thing that could be accomplished with Mishloach Manos. Maybe that's why the word Ishtari Ehu is the same phraseology used there in Megillah Esther as used in Parshas Yisrei to teach us. When you're right, the word Ish could be referring to multiple people. In Yisro, to Moshe, in Shemois, to Yisro, you're right. But the way we know Ish L'Re'ehu, the one who started the peace greeting and peace offering, not from the word Ish, but from that pasuk that says, Anav Ma'od, someone who has that quality of Anivus has the ability to achieve Vayigdal greatness. I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, if you go through the parsha, you'll literally find this midah time and time again. In fact, if you go through our manhigim, through our gedolim and the leaders, you'll see this sensitivity, these feelings of being in tuned and attuned to what it is that people need. And to trying to bring people close to each other. That is Taka true greatness. And I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, as we start Sefer Shemois, we're zoicha to the bracha. If you take a look, we cannot do this on our own. Greatness has to be achieved together. The opening pasuk says that when we started our sojourn into Mitzrayim more than 200 years, the pasuk says, Ish ubeisai bo'u. If you take a look, the opening pasuk literally means every person in his household came. You know what the Svarim tell us how to read this pasuk? You're going into Golos. You're going into a place that has such foreign ideals, a place that could be so removed from the values that you're accustomed to. So how does a pasuk, how does a person manage to stay strong in Golos? The pasuk is answering, Ish ubeisai ba'u. A man has to bring his bias. His bias means the cohesiveness of his family, the unity of all those members of his household, all of the ideals that are so beautiful with inside the house, they must be brought with you into Golos. Ish ubeisai ba'u means that a man brings his bias. It doesn't merely mean physically his household. On a spiritual level, ubeisai ba'u means that you bring your bias, the cohesiveness of the family, the understanding of each other, and maybe we could say that's the pshat. It says, ish ubeisai ba'u, ish, a reference to that pasuk that we quoted a few moments ago of ish l're'ehu. When you're in Golos and you want to survive, no, you don't want to just survive, you want to thrive. Listen, Rabbi Yisai, not just to survive, but to thrive in Golos, in a Torah-dika way. Ish, that Ish of Ish the Re'ehu, that Ish of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Ish who's Makdim Shalom because he's a humble person. How can we tap into that power of Ish? That Ish, how do we tap into that power of that greatness? Ubeisai ba'u. We need to bring the cohesiveness of our family and the unity of each one being mechazik each other. Then you not only survive, but you thrive in galus. We should all dial into the Ribbono Shel Olam that we're able to see a fulfillment of Vayigdal, each one of us tapping into and achieving greatness on our own level. It's possible. We'll remember the tools that we spoke about tonight, that we should be zeicha to become gedolim, really to tap into that greatness that is certainly there inherently within each and every one of us.